This is Jay Sekulow, a big day at the U.S. Supreme Court for the ACLJ.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. So I want to take some time today to go over a couple of very important issues. We have multiple cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. There's been so much other news, I didn't want these to get lost. Multiple cases on the life issue, cases on religious freedom for college students. So we're going to get into those today because these are really significant cases. I'm holding in my hand for our TV audience three separate certiorari petitions that have been filed or are to be filed. Two of them filed, another one being filed on Monday. Two of the cases involving the life issue, where we have a major case going on for the Center for Medical Progress. We're representing Troy Newman, one of their board members on that case. We also represent a series of crisis pregnancy centers that are being told by the state of California that for you to conduct your organizational work, both your ministerial work and your work in providing aid and advice and counsel to women in a crisis pregnancy situation, that you have to put up on your facilities that you that in California abortions are free, and here's where you can go to get it. Now, that's called compelled speech, and you're not supposed to do it. And then in the Center for Medical Progress series of cases, where those undercover videos took place at Planned Parenthood selling body parts, here's what happened on that case. One of the issues that's been raised is that the Center for Medical Progress could not even give over to law enforcement the evidence they got. And, Fan, there's been hearings on this on Capitol Hill about this information that was uncovered.
Well, an absolute proof of what was happening. I mean, you had images, literally, I know this is very graphic, but images of baby body parts, and Congress was trying to get the extra information that they needed to get to the bottom of this. Because remember, these are clinics, I don't even want to call them clinics, Jay, but they get federal dollars, so Congress should have a right to the information in these cases. They have sought that information. They have been blocked time and time again. And Jay, on the crisis pregnancy center cases, I mean, you want to talk about not conceding the pro-choice moniker to the abortion industry any longer. They won't give mothers information about dangerous procedures that they are about to undergo, and yet they think that there is an obligation to advertise abortion to those same mothers.
The question presented in the case is so straightforward, and it's so ridiculous what the Ninth Circuit. The good news is if the court grants review, that's good news for us, because generally, if it's coming out of the Ninth Circuit and you lost, which we did not win this case, you will have a good result at the Supreme Court of the United States, I'd say 85% of the time. However, having said that, these are very, very significant issues that are facing the country, facing the pro-life community. I want your comments on how important the life issue is to you and religious freedom for college students. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And again, talking about whether it's going after Planned Parenthood or the life issue. By the way, my brother Gary Sekulow, who's our CFO, pointed out something in this tax bill. We're going to talk about it later in the broadcast, but I think it's appropriate here. There's something in that tax bill I don't like, and that is they're going to do away with the adoption tax credit. So why would you do, which will impact the bottom line of the revenue to the United States insignificant, I mean, not even noticeable. Yet we're still giving $500 million to Planned Parenthood. So tax policy can implicate cultural policy on the life issue as well. And I think this helps parents that are going through what is an expensive adoption process. And I think it's outrageous, personally, that this kind of situation would take place in our tax code. So we'll talk more about that later in the broadcast. But three cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. By the way, one of those cases, they're in conference. As I'm on with you live, the justices are meeting, discussing Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra. That's in conference today. I'll explain what that means when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls on all of these issues and get your opinion on the life issue and work at the Supreme Court as well at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to call us. Don't forget also, as I hold these cert petitions up for you, with these three and more coming, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. So your support does keep us literally in court, and we're in a matching challenge campaign. Go to ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. It's Friday, so what we're doing is I want to give you an overview of we got activity at the Supreme Court of the United States right now. I mean, literally as we speak, the justices have been meeting on one of our cases, Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra. That is, we represent a lot of crisis pregnancy centers around the country. Ed White's joining us on the phone. Carly Gammel, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Ed White, also senior counsel in our office in Ann Arbor, is with us. Carly here in our media center. Let me go to you first, Ed. Where this case has been in conference, let's talk about what the main issue is for these crisis pregnancy centers. I think it's important for people to understand this is a case we filed at the Supreme Court. It's been held. If they keep holding it, they've asked for documents, they've asked for the record. What's the issue at stake here?
The issue is whether the government can compel a crisis pregnancy center to inform clients that there are abortion alternatives. So in other words, a girl comes to a crisis pregnancy center and wants to just talk about her pregnancy, and the government is saying to the crisis pregnancy center, you also have to tell her she can get free abortion or low-cost abortion elsewhere, even if you are a crisis pregnancy center that is based upon more religious views against abortion.
Yeah, so I've got Carly in the studio here, and I'm having a little, Ed sounds a little muffled to me, so we need to check the line on that. But Carly, you've been working on this case as well. I mean, here you've got these crisis pregnancy centers that do an incredible job all over the country, providing alternatives, meeting women in need, and sometimes their partner, but also, of course, to protect the life of the child. And you've got a law in California, which we've challenged a similar law elsewhere and have prevailed. What is the law actually saying?
So what the law is saying here is that if you are providing certain services and talking to women about pregnancy, so it's a pretty broad law, then you have to also inform them that California offers free or low-cost alternatives, which include contraception and abortion. As Ed said, these are organizations, these crisis pregnancy centers, that are morally and religiously opposed to these things. And I have to say, it's actually more egregious than some of the other laws that have been struck down, because not only do you have to talk about abortion, but you have to then send them to the website where they can get these free services.
So, I mean, in the United States of America, you should not be in a situation where someone compels you as a organization that takes a pro-life position that you must give out the pro-abortion position, which is precisely, Ed, what this California law is requiring them to do. In other words, if you're going to be a center that offers abortion alternatives and help for these women in these pregnancy situations, you must under the California law. You have no choice but to tell them there are referrals available. In fact, in California, a lot of abortion services are free. All of that's required under the statute.
Correct. And that's the issue before the Supreme Court.
So here's the obvious question that you have to ask anyone that's looking at these situations. How, now, we've won these in other cases. What was the difference, Ed, say, in the Second, Fourth Circuit, we've won these cases, and this case, besides the fact that it's the Ninth Circuit and they never get it right?
I think that's the key issue, is that it's the Ninth Circuit. There are very subtle differences here. In the New York case, I think the language was to encourage telling people about these abortion services. But even with that, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said you can't do that. And it goes back to Supreme Court cases years and years ago, where the Supreme Court said the government cannot compel a child in public school to say the Pledge of Allegiance. The government can't compel private people to speak a message. The government can fund things that want to advance a message, or the government itself can do the message. But so the issue here is, and it never stops at something like this. If they are able to do this with a crisis pregnancy center, the next step would be another religious group to have to say whatever the government wants to say. And then you as a religious person are then constricted into whatever your state, if it's a leftist state like California, you have to advance that message, even though it goes against everything you believe in.
So California law compels certain of these crisis pregnancy centers that offer the alternatives to abortion, no matter what the reason the women's visiting, this is according to our cert petition, that they might be eligible for free or low-cost abortions. Now, that's being compelled. You have to say that. Now, we've argued that the Ninth Circuit opinions in conflict with the Second and Fourth Circuits in holding that petitioners can be compelled to advertise free or low-cost abortions, and we've also said they applied the wrong level of scrutiny. But let's go back to the Second and Fourth Circuits here, Carly. We have had these similar compelled speech laws. Now, by the way, this is at the Supreme Court today. Whether they're going to hear the case or not. Literally, what I'm holding in my hand is called the cert petition. It's petition for certiorari, a request that the case be heard. It's been conferenced several times here. But this is a situation where crisis pregnancy centers are being compelled to basically do referrals for abortion.
That's exactly right. And as we've said, that's just simply not the law. I mean, the Constitution does not allow the government to tell private citizens what message they have to convey. And it's absolutely against the moral and religious principles of these organizations to talk about abortion, let alone to send women to the very website where they can get the free or low-cost abortion services.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We are at the Supreme Court today. Let me go back to Ed on this. Now, this is conference number 4 on this case. So generally what you've got is it's not unusual for it to be held 2 or 3 times. They've requested the full record. That's a good sign. The other side's responded. What do you, obviously we'll probably, I don't think we'll get an order today. Will we? More likely Monday, right, Ed?
Correct. Probably Monday around 10 o'clock in the morning, 9:30, somewhere.
What is your what's your theory on why they're holding it and continue to hold it?
It could be various things. It could be that you need 4 justices to agree to hear a case.
Right.
It could be that there are not 4 justices. There might only be 2 or 3, and someone's writing a dissent from the denial of cert. Or because there are 3 pending cert petitions, if I call correctly, on this issue that raise different legal questions, the court can be sorting out which of those questions it wants to consider.
Yeah, so there are there's 3 cases total. We call them companion cases, but we have one, and then there's 2 others. The court, when they get these, takes these, and they could be saying, okay, look, we've looked at this now. We want to take this issue from this one from that one. They consolidate it, and they say this is the question presented. But again, I think it's very important for our audience to understand, Carly, and I think we got to emphasize what it is that California was mandating here and what was California's purported justification for this.
Right. Well, so what they're mandating is that these crisis pregnancy centers, who are religiously and morally opposed to talking about abortion and contraception, tell women who come in for their services that there are free and low-cost abortion services available to them, and mandating that they send them to the website
right.
where they can get those services. So you have to speak this message.
So do you post it, or do you have to say it orally, or both?
Under the FACT Act, it's one or the other. You either have to post it in your...
Or you've got to say it.
Yeah, or you have to say it. Either way, though, it's speech. Whether it's written
or
spoken, it's speech.
I mean, think about this, folks. You take a pro-life position, you operate a crisis pregnancy center, and you're being told, sorry, you have to offer for abortion. You have to make sure, whether it's in writing or you say it yourself, you've got to let that person know. I know you're here because, you know, you're coming to the crisis pregnancy center, and we want to talk to you about how to save the life of your child here and offer help for you. But I want you to know, and this is from a crisis pregnancy center, abortions are free in California in most cases. You can go get one, and here's where you go to get it. That's not the way the Constitution is supposed to work. Ryan's calling on line three. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes. Under this law, this could really backfire on them if it was required that abortion clinics provide other alternative resources and websites for adoption clinics and crisis pregnancy centers.
Yeah, well, it would backfire on them, except the law doesn't require that. I mean, there's nothing in the law requiring that, right, Carly?
No, not at all. Like I said, it's about low-cost alternatives, which include abortion and contraception.
I think it would be unconstitutional, Ed, to tell Planned Parenthood that that they have to compel that you can go to a crisis pregnancy center if you want and to keep your child. Here's what you have to do. I don't think you can compel that of private organizations. That's my view.
You're correct. The government can't compel speech. It just is plain as simple as that. Whether it's speech we like or speech we don't like, that's not the government's role. If the state of California wants to spend money to put up billboards, advertisements, whatever, yep, saying we offer these free services, fine. You can do that as the government. You can't tell a doctor, a nurse, a crisis pregnancy volunteer to do it.
Fan, you bring up a good point, and that is laws that require ultrasounds, which have been very successful throughout the country, these groups fight that as well. They don't even want informed consent, basically.
Forget forcing abortion providers to advertise for adoption. We just simply want them to show the mothers the truth about the dangerous procedure that they're going to go under. I mean, a very standard obligation to provide a mother with access to an ultrasound. These same groups, Jay, oppose that tooth and nail, and in many cases have been successful. So the hypocrisy and the ironic, disgusting double standard that exists here is really pretty overwhelming.
So, by the way, we are, again, if you're just joining us, we're at the Supreme Court of the United States today. It was in conference. So what that means, in the conference room, the Chief Justice's conference room, all nine justices are in there, and you've got to get four votes to have the case heard. For petition of certiorari, four votes to have the case heard. So we've had it up there a number of times here, but the issue here is, can you compel a crisis pregnancy center to violate its conscience by demanding that they refer to abortion? That should never be the case. So that's one of three. We got three up there right now, different cases. We're going to get to all of these. But folks, there's a lot of activity at the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Whether it's the Supreme Court in the United States, whether it's this broadcast, whether it's fighting for issues around the globe, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, and we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. We come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Stay tuned.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, busy time for the American Center for Law and Justice at the Supreme Court of the United States. I say that because we right now have two cases up there right this moment. That is Troy Newman versus National Abortion Federation. That case involves those videos that showed Planned Parenthood selling fetal body parts. And then we have the case we've been talking about, which is Living Well Medical Clinic, which is a case for crisis pregnancy centers. By the way, both of these out on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, so we should not be shocked that the Ninth Circuit got this wrong. But in the Living Well Medical Center, they want pro-life pregnancy centers, crisis pregnancy centers, to be are compelled under California law to say, here's where you can get your free or low-cost abortion. And that's exactly how it works. And that's exactly the law. Now, we've successfully won that in the Second and Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, but not shockingly, the Ninth Circuit went in the other direction. And I'm telling you, these are big issues. I want to take some more phone calls. We've been joined by our senior counsel, Andy Economo. He is here with us as well. Let's take Gary's call out of Arizona in line two. Gary, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to say I've been supporting right to life issues for the last 50 years, and it's so discouraging because of the lack of they get all kinds of promises from politicians and things, but nothing ever seems to happen. In fact, it's even gotten worse over the last 50 years. But I'm also very encouraged by what is going on through your group and all the people that are involved with that in the Supreme Court.
Well, let me tell you this. You should also realize this, that the Office of the Arizona Attorney General has filed a brief in support of our position with regard to law enforcement getting access to the records, because the way it's set up in the Center for Medical Progress case right now, and we've got the Troy Newman case, which he's one of the board members, so that case, again, up at the Supreme Court of the United States right now. The issue that is presented is concerning to law enforcement is the court issued an order saying that you could not even give the information that the Center for Medical Progress got in those videos, which have been published before. You couldn't even give that information to a law enforcement authorities, because there are a number of states that want this. They actually write in the government's, in the state attorney general's brief, they actually say that that is their primary concern, is the interaction with law enforcement. They said, in fact, the case should be heard because the petitions encompass a question relating to the public's engagement with law enforcement in connection with a broad category of civil and criminal cases. May a private party use a boilerplate non-disclosure agreement to block the free exchange of information to law enforcement and obtain a prior notice guarantee regarding contacts with law enforcement? In other words, once the evidence was obtained, and it was the audio tapes and the videotapes of that information being shared about selling fetal body parts and how they would do the abortion procedures differently, law enforcement in various states, Andy, wanted to bring investigations on this, and the judge said, sorry, you can not even in that context, can you move that forward?
That's an absolutely absurd result, and the Ninth Circuit affirmed what the district court had said in its own circuit. There are, Jay, literally hundreds of hours of material that petitioners may wish to disclose to law enforcement agencies. And this is in response to subpoenas from Arizona and Louisiana. The people who are seeking to overturn this, our clients, have identified at least 47 hours of video, listen to this, and 100 hours of audio as being responsive to the subpoenas issued by Arizona and Louisiana. And because somebody signs a non-disclosure agreement, this, which may talk about all kinds of criminal activities, selling body parts, how to get under the law, how to violate state laws, the district court said you can't give that to law enforcement officers. And 20 attorneys general have finally stood up on their hind legs and said this is ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. So, Carly, you've been working on this case as well. For those that don't remember, and it's hard for you not to remember if you've been following this broadcast, those videos caught them saying it. I mean, the doctors, how they would do the abortion procedures differently because to save the fetal body parts. So various states wanted to do an investigation. That should not be a significant problem of getting them evidence. But this judge says, well, they signed a non-disclosure agreement. So you could, as Andy said, a drug cartel could have an NDA with its other drug cartel members and say, oh, well, by the way, you can't give it to law enforcement because you signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, as Andy said, it's absolutely absurd. And it's a completely different issue from the other issues that are underlying the case. I mean, this seems like a no-brainer that obviously law enforcement has to be able to access the evidence that they need to do their job.
But I made an appearance in this case and vigorously argued on the First Amendment issues and in the trial court. But the Ninth Circuit decision, not shocking here. But again, it raises that issue of why in the world would a non-disclosure agreement stop a state prosecutor from getting evidence in a potential criminal case? It makes absolutely zero sense.
Well, it should not. And public policy, really, Jay, as we know, strongly favors the unimpeded flow and communication of information between the public and law enforcement. In other words, we want to know, we who are prosecutors want to know about criminal activity or about civil activity that may not be criminal in nature, but that may implicate civil laws and to enforce those. And you can't just come up with an agreement that we're going to collude and do this and then not tell you about it, law enforcement.
You know, we've said this time and time again, Than, and the fact is Planned Parenthood wields a big stick in Washington, D.C., and they do in these various states as well. Although here you got 20 AGs that are saying enough.
No question about it. I mean, Jay, when they can perform more than 300,000 abortions and only refer for about 5,000 live births, either adoptions or mothers that keep their children, I don't think they're advertising for adoption. But I want to underscore something that you just said, because one of the key findings of that congressional investigation was that the way that Planned Parenthood was conducting and these other clinics were conducting these procedures was specifically endangering women. So, Jay, for everybody on the abortion left who might not be concerned about that unborn baby and they say that they are pro-women, altering these procedures, the Congress found that it was specifically endangering the women undergoing those procedures, and they were not being informed about it. Jay, if that's not something that law enforcement should investigate, I'm not quite sure why they're there.
All right, Janet's calling on Lies 5 from Seattle, Washington, in the Ninth Circuit, I might add. Janet, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you for all you do. I hope people will be in prayer for your organization.
Thanks.
In these cases.
Big day today for that the Crisis Pregnancy Center cases and the cases up for certiorari. But go ahead.
Yes, I was just saying how absolutely ridiculous it is to ask an adoption center to talk about abortion. It would be like asking a church, if you came in for counseling, a Christian church, to talk about, oh, do you know about atheism and Islam and Buddhism?
Yeah, right. You've got to offer all the religious alternatives. Right.
That's right. And we're not going to ask McDonald's to talk about the veggie burger place down the street either. It's just ridiculous.
No, and I'm not going to give an ad to McDonald's or veggie burgers, but I will tell you this. You're exactly correct. That's the absurd nature of it. And then complicate it on the other case. That was the Crisis Pregnancy Center cases. Understand what's going on in California. I'm going to talk about this after the break, folks. Understand what's going on in California. If you take a pro-life position in California, Carly, you are subject to rules that are never applied to anybody else.
That's right. Yeah, and I, you know, just listening to Janet, I'm not sure whether I'm encouraged that the general populace gets this or more discouraged that the courts don't understand the constitutional prohibition against conscripting private citizens into becoming mouthpieces for the government message.
Well, listen to what, this is good, this is what NARAL says. Here's their position. Play it.
This is not about freedom of speech. It's not about freedom to worship, however anyone chooses to worship. What it is about setting a baseline threshold of what people that are licensed or what licensed health facilities are required to offer to their candidates.
So here you go, Planned Parenthood and NARAL. In your clinics, you know what? There are alternatives to killing your baby. And that would be, and terminating the pregnancy. That would be, crisis pregnancy centers offer adoption alternatives, help with birth. They offer all kinds of alternatives, low cost, most of the time free. See if the California legislature is going to pass that law. And see what the Ninth Circuit would do with that. You know what they'd say? No, that's compelled speech. You can't make them do it. All right, we're going to come back from the break. I'm taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Big day at the Supreme Court for the ACLJ on a whole host of issues. Haven't even gotten into the student case yet. We're going to talk about that after the break. But again, we're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Absurd, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So I'm talking about some Supreme Court cases today. We've got one that is actually up at the Supreme Court today. As I've been with you live, the court was in conference, and this case, we'll probably know Monday the status of it. It's Livingwell Medical Clinic versus Becara. That case involves pro-life crisis pregnancy centers that are being told you must make available and let people know either orally or in writing that abortions are not only available, but they're not expensive, and there's ways to get them. That's what this law requires, Carly, right?
That's right. And you have give to send
us a
detail.
So you walk into an abortion, a crisis pregnancy center, what would you then have to see?
So you either will see posted on a sign in their waiting room that the website that you can go to, that you can get low-cost or free alternatives such as abortion
and it says abortion
and contraception.
Yes, it does. The law says it includes abortion. So you've got to put in there that this is available. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Why would a crisis pregnancy center even have to utter the word abortion? Why? Because the state of California thought it was a good idea. But that's okay. The state of California, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, also said, you know those videos from the Center for Medical Progress that showed Planned Parenthood in the business of selling body parts and how they were going to do this and how they would change their abortion procedures to do it? Remember all that? The judge says, well, there was a non-disclosure agreement that the videographer in his undercover investigative journalism signed. Thus, law enforcement, because this the sale of fetal body parts is a crime, law enforcement can't get access to that evidence. Andy Economo is senior counsel for the ACLJ. He's also a former assistant United States attorney and acting U.S. attorney as well at times. I was a government lawyer for Treasury. I did criminal cases. The idea, Andy, that you could an NDA means the government can't get access to the evidence is absurd.
It is. You cannot, by contract, shield someone from disclosing the evidence of a crime. The decision here in this case in the Ninth Circuit that we are now seeking the Supreme Court to review, this decision empowers would-be potential wrongdoers, especially those engaged in collusion, conspiracy, or multi-party enterprises, to hide their actions and hamper investigations. And it gives them the green light to go ahead and do that under some sort of contract theory.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy.
I mean, Bridget on Facebook echoes what Carly just said, that women are misled and taught that their fetus, as it's called, is not really a baby. We need to educate better. We do, but we also have to make sure that courts don't put in obstacles in the way of communicating a life issue. Right, Carly?
Absolutely. I mean, the First Amendment, it could not be clearer, and the case law really couldn't be clearer. But for whatever reason, the Ninth Circuit has chosen to go the other way on this one.
Very rarely. In fact, we got a call on that coming out of Charles on line two. Charles, welcome to the broadcast. By the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're focusing on Supreme Court cases today because we've got a bunch of them up there right now and one that's up. Charles, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Good day. Thanks for taking the call. My question is, 85% of the cases from the Ninth Circuit overturned by the Supreme Court? The question is, what is the function of the Ninth Circuit? It seems to me it's a waste of judicial time.
Well, you've got to go through an appellate court before you can get to the Supreme Court, unless in the rarest of circumstances, it's got to be by statute, you not. But the way it works is district court, court of appeals, Supreme Court on certiorari. But the Ninth Circuit is the most reversed court in the country. They, like I said, if we get certiorari granted in the crisis pregnancy center case or the Center for Medical Progress case on those videos, You're going in with the wind at your back in these cases because they are so overturned. And it's important to point out on those crisis pregnancy center cases and that forced disclosure about abortion being required, we have actually won that in other circuits.
That's right. Yeah, we've won that in the Second Circuit in an Evergreen case. And again, this one is more egregious than that. So it should have been a no-brainer that if you can't do what the Second Circuit said you can't do, then you certainly can't do more than that.
Right. You know, Jay, if you don't put up these signs, there's fines and penalties attached to that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they penalize you and fine you so much per sign, if you don't per occasion, if you don't put these up.
That's because the abortion industry fan in California is gigantic.
They're gigantic, and they're gigantic in Washington, D.C., Jay. Literally, when these things are being considered, you can't walk down the street without running into them.
It's true. But that's why we fight back, folks. And again, if the ACLJ, we're not talking about it, we're there. Supreme Court of the United States. Support the work of the ACLJ, Matching Challenge Month, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Sometimes you deal with laws that are absurd. The Ninth Circuit is one of them, in two contexts. Number one, on crisis pregnancy centers that offer alternatives to abortion. They're being required to put up that, hey, you can offer abortions and they're free or low cost, and here's where you can get them. That's in the crisis pregnancy center. You think the abortion clinic's going to put up, here's where you can get adoption services or free medical care to carry your child to term? They're not going to require that. So that's case one. Case two at the Supreme Court of the United States is the Center for Medical Progress, Troy Newman, who we represent, is a board member. That case involved the undercover videos that were done by the Center for Medical Progress on the sale of fetal body parts. Okay? Congress investigated this. So, Dan, let's put this, once this information got out, Congress investigated this.
Congress investigated it with a separate panel, not an existing committee, Jay. They set up another panel specifically to do this. Just one piece of information that came out of that. There was a lot of it, but one of them was literally a baby body part price list, Jay. What these clinics would charge for various prices. And then, of course, the evidence that you talked about, how they would alter procedures to make sure, for example, they could get that brain intact. If that information that Congress uncovered and has in their possession cannot be turned over to law enforcement agency, that's just an absolute travesty. That was the entire reason that this panel was put together. They came up with the evidence. And, Jay, at the moment, it's just sitting there.
Well, here's what the question presented in the case is at the Supreme Court of the United States. Did the Ninth Circuit err by holding, in conflict with decisions of the Supreme Court and the First, Tenth, and Federal Circuits, that courts may enforce a non-disclosure agreement to prevent voluntary disclosure to law enforcement or regulatory agencies or the general public of information concerning conduct that may be criminal, illegal, or unethical. And just focusing on the law enforcement regulatory portion of that for a second, Andy, you were a U.S. attorney, so you understand this. And the state attorney generals, by the way, in 20 states have said this is crazy, this is absurd, the Ninth Circuit's wrong, and we're at the Supreme Court on this right now, folks, so it's that significant. But what does it do to law enforcement?
Well, it cuts the ability of law enforcement completely off from getting information regarding potential criminal activity, because it says that you and I can sit down and contractually agree that I'm going to give you information which may ultimately turn out to be or to lead to criminal prosecution, and you can't disclose that to a grand jury subpoena issued, in this case, by the state of Arizona or by the state of Louisiana or by the state of Georgia or whomever. Now, everybody is entitled to evidence. A prosecutor is entitled to the evidence of wrongdoing. You cannot, by contract, subvert that and cut it off.
Well,
it's just that simple.
Unfortunately, the district court judge and the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, Carly, said you could.
That's right. It not just unfortunate, it's absurd. As Andy said, the law enforcement folks have to be able to do their jobs, and there's just no way for them to do it without the evidence.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And by the way, the one case is at the Supreme Court today to determine if it's going to be heard. The other one is pending. We don't have a date on when the court's going to have that in conference yet, so we're waiting for that because there's other information that's coming forward on that. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Dawn is calling. And by the way, if you want to talk to us, we got some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. I want to know how important this life issue is to you. All right, Dawn, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, yes, this is Dawn. I'm from Las Vegas, and yep. I've been in a crisis pregnancy center for 17 years here in Las Vegas and have seen significant change in the atmosphere of what's going on. That clip you played about Naylaw, whatever her name was, about the baseline of what clinics can provide it's so much deeper than that. Naylaw last week, I don't know if y'all were aware of this, but they launched a massive marathon last week of calling every crisis pregnancy center in the nation and sending in fake clients to tie up our phone lines, to tie up our time with fake clients so that we could not meet needs of real people.
The truth is, they don't want crisis pregnancy centers to exist. And in the Ninth Circuit, and you're governed by the Ninth Circuit, I mean, now you're being compelled. Now, I don't know Las Vegas doesn't have that law, but you're being compelled. Nevada doesn't have that law, as far as I know. You are being compelled to keep that information private. Now, here's what's interesting. The Nevada Attorney General has filed on our behalf in this case. So your state's attorney general has said, this is absurd. Again, reiterating this, we're law enforcement. If there's evidence of a crime, why would a contractual non-disclosure agreement that you sign to an undercover investigative journalist signs an NDA when he goes in to do this undercover investigation? Of course, the Planned Parenthood, NARAL, they don't know what the group's in there for, so they're going to argue all of the arguments they make. One of their arguments, though, their main argument is, well, he signed a non-NDA, even though the individuals were admitting that they, in fact, were figuring out how to sell body parts and what it would be worth. Now, this was a big public relations nightmare for Planned Parenthood. But the truth of the matter is, now law enforcement's hampered, and that's why they have added their name to this request for the case to be heard, because it impacts law enforcement's ability to do its job. Here, the illegal sale of fetal unborn babies' body parts.
That's right, Jay. As a matter of fact, the petitioners in this case, our clients, have identified at least 47 hours of video and 100 hours of audio of these conferences, these seminars, these presentations, including contextual information, okay, necessary and to be sufficiently meaningful that they want to disclose to law enforcement, and that this injunction by this judge and affirmed by the Ninth Circuit prevents them from doing.
All right, here's what I want to know from our audience in the next couple segments we've got left here. I want to know your reaction to all this. We've laid this out. You were at the Supreme Court on both of these cases. By the way, you got another case being filed Monday on a student case. We're not going to be able to hit that until Monday. But again, 1-800-684-3110. I want to know what you have to say. Michelle's calling on line 4. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. This is driving me absolutely bonkers. I mean, we've got two businesses that we run out of our home. We've got another two that we have storefronts, and we have non-disclosure agreements for certain employees that we hire. But those are for proprietary things such as recipes and things that are not going to affect others. It doesn't make sense that a non-disclosure agreement would be something that, if it's a proprietary thing that
could thwart a criminal investigation. And you're talking about, because the sale of fetal body parts in a lot of states is illegal. And, you know, they tried to deny that they were even doing it. But that didn't work out so well for them, by the way. That whole line of attack just kind of didn't go anywhere. But we have to understand here, and Carl, you've been litigating this case. I made an appearance at the district court in trying to talk this judge into not restricting the First Amendment here, which the Ninth Circuit said he could restrict. But this is serious implications for speech.
Absolutely. And you know, this caller's pointing out exactly what Andy and I were just talking about, which is the reason for non-disclosure agreements is to protect proprietary information. It is not to protect from disclosure to law enforcement agencies evidence of criminal activity.
Right. So they have taken a non-disclosure agreement and put it into a context that it does not apply at all, and they've turned it into a whipsaw that if you, in fact, got to get into details on it, but our petition for certiorari, that's the publicly filed one, we had to redact some of the things in it because that would be deemed a disclosure. I am not kidding you. I feel like in the FOIA litigation where you get, you know, pages redacted. But literally, in the cert petition for our TV audience, redacted. I mean, half pages, sometimes more. Here you go. This looks like something from the State Department. Redacted. And I'm saying this because this is how serious this case is. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, and I want your views on this. But Fan, you know, you bring up the point that we've got to have a multi-pronged strategy here. We're two cases at the Supreme Court right now. One, we may find out Monday if it's being heard. You've got a legislation issues. You had hearings in Capitol Hill. You've got litigation, obviously, and then you got regulations. HHS just passing, life begins at conception. So we have to be hitting this on all cylinders here.
Well, the way you win this is to take that multi-pronged approach: litigation, legislation, and then also regulation. I just want to give people a little bit of hope here, Jay, because I know this can be overwhelming for people, but we get down in the weeds and file comments on how things like the agencies of the federal government should approach life. And the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, just came out with a ruling that says that they will view life as beginning at conception. Now, that might sound like a small win, Jay, but what it means, the trickle-down effect, is that all of the programs that run through that agency now have to take a programmatic approach that treats life as beginning at conception. So you will start seeing aid being doled out to mothers who are expectant. That never would have happened before. And it's all because of this regulatory change. So just large picture, it feels like a lot of defeats here, but we're winning in the courts. We're winning in legislation. Remember that pain-capable bill just passed the House. And we're winning through regulation, Jay. The facts are on our side. And over time, we're going to carry the day.
Remember this also. We've won these forced disclosure cases on these crisis pregnancy centers in the Second and Fourth Circuits. We've won this issue.
Yeah, we have. And like I said earlier, you know, this is a no-brainer. This FACT Act in California is more egregious in terms of what it compels private citizens to say. There's absolutely no reason that we
shouldn't win today. So if we get granted review, I'm optimistic. Let me give you the states: Arizona, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wisconsin have all filed in our favor, saying that this non-disclosure agreement and the sale of fetal body parts and limiting the evidence where it can go would violate their ability to do effective law enforcement. All right, we come back from the break. Last segment, we take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open for you. 800-684-3110. Remember this. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to go to the Supreme Court of the United States, the halls of Congress, and to deal with media advocacy like we're doing right now. ACLJ.org for that. So any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for this month. ACLJ.org. Back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, it's Friday, and there's a lot of activity going on at the American Center for Law and Justice, and that is, we really have three cases at the Supreme Court. We've only been able to talk about two of them. Monday is another one's being filed, so we'll hold on that one till Monday. But we've been talking about the life issue, which to me is critical. And an interesting point, David on Facebook said, we're winning over the public issue of life. I think that's true. Look, we've won these cases, by the way, in the Second and Fourth Circuit. That's why the Supreme Court needs to intervene here. I mean, there is a conflict in the circuits. But I think, you know, you've been litigating these life cases, Carly. I think, and I speak at a lot of crisis pregnancy center events. We are winning the life issue. The technology has helped us tremendously.
Absolutely. And you know, we talked about this earlier, the fact that that those who are in favor of laws like the FACT Act are equally opposed to things like ultrasounds and sonograms that would give women the information, the accurate, truthful information about their pregnancy and about the fact that there is a life growing within them.
So here's the question that I ask in all these cases, and that is, Andy, and I'm going to ask this to you from a prosecutorial standpoint. You've laid out why this is absurd, that because the state attorney generals in 20 states have filed in our favor.
That's correct.
But why did the Ninth Circuit think, I don't want analysis of their opinion, that they thought that that decision could possibly be correct because of what it would do and impact on law enforcement?
Well, the Ninth Circuit obviously did not think. Otherwise, they would not have come up with a decision like this. Law enforcement must be able to receive information freely from the public in order to investigate potential wrongdoing. That I have quoted from the dissenting opinion of Judge Callahan. There are some sane judges on the Ninth Circuit who follow the law and who know what it is to be a prosecutor and how we need that information. And that's exactly what he said here. And what is happening is that the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has really blocked state investigatory efforts because the NAF, the National Abortion Federation, objects to the disclosures of the subpoenas because somebody signed a non-disclosure agreement. In other words, I can get in a room, figure out how to violate the law, come to a price-fixing cartel, do an antitrust thing, and say, now, you can't go out and tell anybody about this. And there is a court and a circuit court, a district court and a circuit court, that's going to support that.
Yes. So the prosecutor and the antitrust division can say, well, you can't get that evidence because they signed a non-disclosure agreement. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. I want to go to Eileen calling from Los Angeles, California, right there in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit's jurisdiction. Eileen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. I thought that if someone was aware of the other person committing a crime, you have to report it or be charged with being implicit in the crime yourself. And it's the same thing like with if you're
You've laid out, Eileen, you've laid out what the law is. Andy, go ahead.
Eileen, you are right. It's called misprision of felony. In other words, if you know that a felony is being committed or may be committed and you don't disclose that, you can be guilty of the separate crime of what's called misprision of felony. That is failure to disclose the existence of felonious or potentially felonious activity. And you can be prosecuted not only for aiding and abetting the committer, the person who committed the crime, but for the second crime of not disclosing the existence of the crime.
So to get everybody up to date, we're at the Supreme Court on all of this. Where we have both the crisis pregnancy centers that are, those cases are at the Supreme Court right now and are in conference today. And we have the Center for Medical Progress case. We represent in that particular case Troy Newman, one of the board members. That's the one on the, what Andy was talking about, which is you can't even disclose to government law enforcement about the sale of fetal body parts. That is also at the Supreme Court. We got another one being filed Monday. We'll save that one for Monday. We're going to take more calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Randy is calling from Virginia on line one. Randy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Something I haven't heard you guys mention, and by the way, thanks for letting me call you.
Sure.
You say that this law would say that pro-life centers have to, or crisis pregnancy centers have to disclose that free or low-cost abortions are available.
Yep.
Aren't we told all the time that our tax dollars aren't paying for abortions?
Well, your state taxpayer dollars are paying for it in California. I mean, so go ahead, Carl. I mean, that's it's because in California, they have a ability to have low-cost abortions available or right. free.
Yeah, I was going to say that the difference is the state versus the federal issue. And while, yes, we're told regularly that our federal tax dollars are not going to that, you know, Randy, you're fortunate that you're in Virginia and not in California because your tax dollars would absolutely be being used for this.
Yeah, so in California, they are. And then by state taxes, and then you have the application and enforcement issue of this ridiculous policy. So I want you to understand the two issues that are faced right now that we're at the Supreme Court on. This is just on the life issue. Two issues. One, the first one, crisis pregnancy centers being compelled to violate their conscience and their position by having to advocate for abortion. And that's how I'd say it. They're having to advocate for abortion as compelled speech under California statute. Now, in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, we actually won that. The Ninth Circuit, not shockingly, went the other way. But that case is pending at the Supreme Court right now and today has been in conference. Now, we will not know the order status of that probably until Monday. That's case one. Case two, which is also at the Supreme Court, not yet in conference, is this case that I'm holding for our TV audience, and that is the Supreme Court of the United States as it relates to the issue of the Center for Medical Progress, their videos that showed Planned Parenthood engaged in the sale of fetal body parts or attempting to sell fetal body parts and finding out more information about how to sell fetal body parts. State law enforcement wanted access to those videos. Andy, what was the number? It was hundreds of hours or
47 hours of video and 100 of audio.
Yeah, so 147 hours combined of material that should go to law enforcement. But a judge says because of a non-disclosure agreement, it can't go to law enforcement. We've now challenged that at the Supreme Court of the United States as well. So these are two separate cases. One we may get some news on Monday. Another, the other one that we just mentioned, the one involving the Planned Parenthood and the sale of fetal body parts, that's probably a couple of months away. On Monday, just to show you what we're doing at the ACLJ, we're filing another Supreme Court case, and I'm going to let Carly give you a little bit of a two-minute version of this one as we close the broadcast out, because this kind of shows you the nature. And this is involving a student that applied for a program. Give me a minute and a half version of this.
Okay, so we represent a student who applied to become a radiation therapist at a public school in Maryland. When he was invited by the director of the program to come and interview for admission to that program, he was asked the question, "What do you base your morals on?" And he said, "My faith." Subsequently, when he was denied admission to the program and inquired to find out, "What can I do better?" he received a copy of the program director's written notes that said that among the reasons that he was not allowed into the program was that he mentioned his faith too much in the interview. So what we've got here is public schools now being permitted to ferret out, based on religious viewpoint, students as being not acceptable candidates.
Because you're, in this particular case, you have a Christian worldview.
Yeah.
And you're denied from a program that you'd otherwise qualify for. You know where that is, Monday? It's not bound yet. These are the bound ones. Because Monday it gets filed. This will be the Supreme Court of the United States Monday. Let me tell you what this means. Your support for the American Center for Law and Justice makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. That allows us to go to the Supreme Court. Or if we go to Than Bennett very quickly here, Than allows us also to go to Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. And that last case that Carly talked about, it sounds like his dogma lives loudly in him, don't you think,
yeah,
Jay?
Yeah, the dogma lived loudly in him, or at least too loudly for this particular school, just by saying that his faith was... Go ahead, Than, quick.
She got confirmed this week. That's another win. Five
by the
judges
way, a win.
This week.
Amy Barrett, you call her Judge Barrett. We won that. ACLJ.org for that matching challenge. ACLJ.org. Have a great weekend.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.